Today we celebrate one of those mysteries which really is at the very heart of our faith. When you talk in terms of our relationship to God, it is a relationship that is seen in and through the revealed truth of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's a difficult concept. We meet the Trinity, literally the teaching and the understanding of the Trinity, in prayer, in catechesis and teaching, and in practice. If you were to ask most people, what's the very first prayer that you learned as a child? People would immediately jump to the Hail Mary or to the Our Father. There's a little doubt in my mind. We'd say, that's it. But in reality, the very first prayer that all of us were taught in one form or fashion by either our grandparents or by our parents was when we were little and they said, take those little fingers of yours and start at the forehead in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The sign of the cross for most Catholics. And immediately, even when you're watching television or watching a sport event, you will see an individual kind of quickly make that sign of the cross, and most Catholics immediately know that there is an uttering of a prayer so that the person doesn't strike out, or that maybe after a touchdown in Thanksgiving. But it's a direction towards God. It's naming God in a relationship. And prayer is the heart of the relationship. When we began this liturgy in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We were naming our God. Three persons in one God. That aspect is very important to us because it tells us that it is literally a faith of relationships. And if we're talking about the Trinity, we are talking about love. It's all about love. Our faith is all about love. The expression of our faith is all about love. It's all about love. And prayer develops that relationship with God. It pulls us into it. And if we remember, we begin all our prayers with the Trinity, and we end all our prayers with the Trinity. It is the complete circle. We are pulled in to that embrace, which is our God. Prayer is the way we encounter immediately. We name our God and we are drawn into our God as a trinity of persons, one Godhead. We encounter the Trinity in teaching. Here's where we begin to scratch our heads, because it is the mystery of the Trinity. Theologians and saints, in order to catechize a people, have tried to explain the Trinity. We're all familiar with St. Patrick holding up that shamrock, right? The three leaves in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, holding that shamrock out so you can see the unity in the Godhead. But, of course, we know that that analogy limps, because if you remove a leaf, the shamrock is diminished. But in the Trinity, the Godhead is never diminished when related to a person, either the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. There were other theologians who thought, aha, maybe we can go to music. Music is a wonderful kind of, maybe we could take a look at a chord and see the three notes of a chord that all struck together make one sound, but they're all separate. But of course, if you play the note separate, apart from the chord, it diminishes again. And the Godhead is never diminished. Some modern theologians have attempted to use the substance of water, and it can be manifest in three ways. Be manifest in terms of ice, solid, in terms of liquid, water, H2O itself, or in terms of its vapors, almost a gaseous. And certainly that seems to make sense, but there lacks the relationship of the whole which is there. At the end, we kind of throw our arms out and we say, it's a mystery. Most people want to say, now you're saying it's a mystery. That means that it doesn't exist. But mystery doesn't say it doesn't exist. It says that we can't fully put our arms around it. And we can't fully put our arms around it because it may come as a shock to many of us. You're not God. You're not God. And so there's a recognition immediately that we're not God, and we throw ourselves down in worship and awe before a God who reveals himself in this way to us as truth. And in response to that truth, we place our trust and faith. You see, we, in terms of our intellect, want to put our arms around God. But in effect, we have to realize, no, it's God who puts his arms around us. And so therefore, before that mystery, we're thankful. We're thankful. And then, of course, there's the third, which is the practice. Living out the Trinity. Living out the relationship of love. And that's why we are focused on John 3:16 today in the gospel. John 3:16, familiar to most of you and to most of us as we travel along the highways of the United States and our evangelical brethren who have the big billboard, John 3:16, smacking us right in the face. And what is that 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave us his only son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Those of you who've watched sporting events over the years and remember a number of years ago, there was a gentleman who would buy literally a very visible place behind the great sporting events. And in that visible place, there would be someone who would hold up this huge sign that would say, John 3:16, in football events, in baseball events, in soccer events. It would be this person holding up that big sign, and the camera, because the camera angle had to place itself upon the participants in the sports, couldn't avoid it. The commentators were embarrassed by it. I remember one commentator at a baseball game looked at this huge sign that came up, and said, John 3:16, and he said, isn't it wonderful that they're recognizing Tommy John's earned run average for a lifetime, 3:16. Well, of course, that wasn't Tommy John's earned run average. It was the statement from John's gospel. God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. But it's interesting in terms of the relationship to the secular society that's embarrassed by that statement. That doesn't know how to handle that aspect. And we see that constantly in our society as we take a look at individuals who are confronted by the love of God. When someone immediately, and a commentator places a mic in front of someone who's a hero or in front of someone who has done a tremendous feat, and the first thing that they do is thank God. Commentator doesn't know how to handle that. They want to go back to, well, you did this, you did that. Person constantly say, thank God. Why? Because there's an acknowledgement that there's this tremendous mystery in terms of life, and this person has drawn them out and chosen them to be used as an instrument to reflect God's glory, God's presence. How wonderful that is to understand that and to take a look at John 3:16. And then when we take a look at Corinthians, again, Paul is telling us how to live the Trinity. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Mend your ways. So change. Be different. Understand. Open yourself up to the presence of God. You know, I think immediately so much in terms of any of our vocation, whether it be vocation to priesthood, to diaconate, to marriage, whatever our vocations are, not to understand the mystery of God leading and directing us in every part of our actions, in the relationships that we have, in the encounters that we have, in terms of our friendships that we develop and that we make. And when we open ourselves up to God's love at that moment, we see things we could have never envisioned. We see a God who is actively involved in us, with us, and for us. So Paul tells us immediately, mend your ways. Understand that a God of love is a forgiving God. That is what happens when Jesus comes and offers himself on the cross. Our God is a loving God. And in that love, we reach out to others, even those who may not acknowledge his presence. And we understand a peace that comes from a confidence of trusting ourselves to that God and understanding that that Trinity, that relationship loves us. For Thomas Aquinas, the beginning always is with God and our end is with God. If we take a look at ourselves as being individuals who are pilgrims here on earth, if we understand that we are to develop a relationship that extends to others the presence of God in our lives, we realize that we are on a journey, and that journey ends up in a beatific vision. The beatific vision, which is the presentation of the Trinity for us, with us, and through us. We begin all things with love, and we end all things with love. We are created and made for a love that is held out for all of us. Look at the loves in your life. Look at the relationships and see the Trinity that is expressed in the unity and love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.